Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. And guess what? He's back. That's because enough people threw out that hashtag, apparently, on Twitter. Michael Wiseman back on the podcast. So 2 weeks in a row. We're starting a trend here, Mikey.
Well, okay. They threw out the hashtag, right? Get Lost Wiseman. And I'm enough of a contrarian that it was like...
There was more people with the hashtag Welcome Back Wiseman.
Okay. You're right. People love me. What can I say?
I know, but, right? What can I say? You know, I'm huge. I'm popular. People adore me, you know.
Well, I'm huge in America. People love me. I should run for president. So... This is great. There were a lot of great supporters. Unhappy John Candy, Barry, Bill Dixon, of course. Mike, my good fan who loves to watch Gotham. These guys are great. My favorite, though, was a little guy who goes by the Twitter handle of Sports FYI. He said, hashtag welcome back Wiseman. I like the real Wiseman. It's Fritz I want to get rid of. I only listen when Wiseman is on. So, Fritz,
wow,
it seems like they're calling for you to just, you know, as I said in the 2001s, get the F out, you know?
That's pretty rough, man.
Well, you know, it is what it is, man. Can you live with that?
I think I'm going to have to because if, you know, this has continued on without you, which I've proven. But without me, it will not continue on.
We can continue not without me, but it sounds like at a subpar quality. I just, you know.
You know, bottom line is, Between the Ropes is nothing without me. It's enhanced by having you, but it's nothing without me.
Uh-huh. I think with both of us here, it's like we said one time, it's Between the Dopes. So, you know.
Yes, Between the Dopes.
That's where we settle on this. But yes, I'm back. Thank you all. This is, what, second week in a row. We'll see if it continues. It's like Shane McMahon on Raw. You never know. Yeah. Is he going to be here next week? He lost the Undertaker. Maybe he'll be back. Maybe he won't. No.
So let's get this out of the way, too. In the true sense of wrestling, why don't you cut a promo right now about the possible problems we might have with this connection while we're recording?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Ryan Fritz.
Brother.
I am ready to go out there and stomp a mud hole in somebody from Time Warner Cable. Because no matter what I do right here on Between the Ropes, every time the connection cuts out because those no good, good for nothing, lame brain knuckleheads down at the TWC office can't get their beep together long enough for me to put out this show for all of our millions and millions of fans. And it seems like it's time for me to take my size 13 foot shine that up sideways and stick it straight up. Well, you know the rest. So we'll go with that right there. And
how many different wrestlers' lines did you mix into that promo?
What you gonna do, Time Warner Cable, when the Nature Boy Michael A. Wiseman runs? What? Oh, yeah, okay.
The TWC. I want it. The TWC.
That's not like a rival organization. But since we're in gimmick infringement, let me go back to my gimmick right here. And let's kick this show off right. So,
yes. Nice. A frosty beverage on hand.
Yay. A frosty beverage we got this week. This show is brought to you by a somewhat drunken Michael A. Wiseman, it seems like. But no, for real. New Belgium, Fat Tire, my beer of choice, in a can.
It typically is your beer. You like it in a can, too.
Oh, God, it's so much better. Beer is made for cans, people. Get rid of the bottles. Get rid of your Corona Lights. Beer in a can is where it's at.
See, I like it, and I know I can't really do this at home, but some people can, but a very select few. I like it on draft, you know.
Yeah. On tap is okay. On tap is best.
Yes.
Closest to that is in a can.
And I'm not a big beer drinker, but I do enjoy a nice, you know, apple.
A nice apple?
Well, what is that? The
bottle of wine every once in a while?
No, I don't drink wine. So, I mean, but I drink the...
love the apple teenies.
Yeah, I drink like the apple air ales and stuff, you know. So
oh yeah, the hard ciders, like my wife.
Yeah, hard cider. Like, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, me and your wife have similar tastes.
There was something else she did recently, and I was like, you know, it's funny. Brian Fritz did the same thing. Ah, oh, that's right.
That's right. So yes, I a nice little one of those ciders on tap. That's always pretty refreshing. I had to, in fact, I had to go enjoy a frosty beverage just a week ago at my local bar around the corner because the power went out of my house. And I was like, there is no way in hell I'm sitting here in darkness before I'm watching this NBA playoff game. So so I was just like, I was sitting there for about 10 minutes and didn't come on. By the way, I was getting ready for a big night of I'm going to finish watching this game. And then I've got like Game of Thrones and my HBO lineup and all this stuff. I swear to God, like a minute before 9 o'clock, the power went out. And then I was.
Do you have Time Warner Cable too? Is that what happened?
I do not. But I was sitting around for like 10 or 15 minutes. And then I got the word that like a transformer blew and like 1,700 people were without power. So it was going to be a while. And I said, well, the hell with this. I'm not sitting in the dark. So I, you know, went around the corner. I could have walked, but I drove. And I went over there and I was just like, I pulled up to
How lazy are you? What is this? I hate the environment. My name's Brian Fisk. Well, I could walk to places, but instead, let me get in my car and kill everybody.
It would have been a 5 to 10 minute walk, okay?
And that's way too much.
Well, I was just like, I want to watch the game. It was going on. So I got in the car and I went up. And, you know, I go in the bar and I'm like, instead of, you know, grab a table, I just, you know, took a seat at the bar. And I was like the only person there that was not a regular. Like
really?
Everybody else is having this conversation across the bar. They all knew each other. And then there was me. And then I even got the look at me. It was kind of weird because I said, I go, hey, do you have like a cider on tap? And they said, yeah, sure. And I said, yeah, I'll take one of those. And they go, you want a pitcher, right? And I go, no, it's just a glass.
They obviously don't know you very well.
I was like, no, a glass will be fine. I don't think I need a pitcher to start off with.
Well, I said their default. Somebody comes in by themselves. Yeah, they seem like I could drink a whole pitcher.
Yep. Drive to the bar, walk home. Yeah. that was going to be my night. But you know what? You know, by the time I just kind of slowly enjoyed my drink, watched the game. And the next thing you know, the power came back on early and I went back home and I watched some Game of Thrones.
Nice. Well, that sounds like a fun evening. So what about this? What about these NBA finals? I know we're between the ropes, not between.
We're in the Western Bucks. Conference finals. Yes.
But we're still considering, you know what? This is the divisional finals, right? This is
the conference finals.
Whatever they call it.
Tonight, we're taping this on a Tuesday, so tonight it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then on Monday night was game one of the Western Conference Finals, which is the premier matchup going on, and it was the Warriors against the Thunder. Warriors led for most of the game, and the Thunder had a big fourth quarter, and they won the game. They stole game one on the road.
I mean, you're proud of me, right? Because I'm watching NBA. I've been watching a lot of these finals or semifinals, whatever you want to call them. But I got a couple of questions for you. Okay, first question is, how did Toronto end up with such a kick-ass mascot? I mean, we have what? We have the Warriors and somebody's the Bears. We got the Hornets here in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They got freaking Raptors, right? I'm assuming like Velociraptors, right? Jurassic Park style Raptors.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've had some they used to have a big purple dinosaur on their uniform. Uh-huh. It looked a little bit like Barney. But the funny thing is, you know, obviously the nickname is the Raptors. But the fans go by something else that has a Game of Thrones tie-in because the fans always say "We the North,"
really,
which is
interesting.
A Game of Thrones reference.
Yeah. So Winterfell.
So they all even above that. So I mean, they always have signs that say "We the North," and there's a huge gathering of people, especially during the playoffs, outside of the arena. I mean, just a throng of people, whether there's a game going on in that building or they're on the road, but during the playoffs, all these people gather in this area, thousands of people. And I mean, they are passionate fans up in Toronto. I give them that. Now, mind you, I think their team is going to get clobbered here in the conference finals. That's the expectation, but you never know what's going to happen. But they're passionate. They come out for the team.
They scraped by in those semifinals. So we'll give them that. My second question is anybody better than Steph Curry right now?
Well, it's funny you say that because there is still a big argument about that because Steph Curry is a, you know, back-to-back MVP, but there's still plenty of argument that you can say LeBron James is still the best player in the NBA.
Right, but he was the first ever unanimous MVP, right? That's
correct.
What I heard on the internet.
Yes, he was, and rightfully so, I think. And that, you know, part of the problem with that is that there were plenty of other times where someone else should have won unanimous. You can't tell me all these times that Michael Jordan won that he should, that, you know, why was he not unanimous? mean, it's ridiculous. There was even a year, the year that Shaq won the MVP, which I think was in 2001, I want to say, that one guy from CNN at the time, Fred Hickman, gave it to Allen Iverson. And a lot of people got really ticked off at him about that, saying that is ridiculous. Even though Iverson's a really good player, how was Shaq not unanimous? And there's people that are so upset about why Jordan was unanimous. You know, there was a couple times where like Barkley got a vote or Penny Hardaway got some first place votes. And, you know, as good as they were, I mean, still Michael Jordan in his prime.
Okay, so you kind of lost me at Shaq, because all I know about Shaq, I learned from the exceptional 1996 American film Kazam.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's you lost me there. Anyway, point being, I'm keeping up with the NBA games this year. I'm proud of myself for that. I'm not watching quite as much hockey. I assume CM Punk is picking up the slack for me, since it looks like his UFC career is just a failure to launch in its entirety.
But here's the problem with that, though. Punk's team is my team in hockey, and that would be the Chicago Blackhawks, and they were eliminated in the first round.
So Punk has had a number of failures to launch this year so far.
That sounds like a movie with Matthew McConaughey. Oh, wait.
Whoa. On that note.
Well, let's get into some wrestling talk. Let's talk about, we've got Raw for Monday night. We've got Extreme Rules coming up on Sunday. So I every week I have to do a column for sporting news about what I thought about Raw from the night before. I got to give the 5 takeaway points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in
last match was only he had 2 points.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing was, I go, when it came to my description of Raw, I said it was perfectly fine. There was good. There was bad. It was a show. There was a couple things I guess you could take away. I wouldn't say necessarily memorable, but were kind of key. But other than that, it wasn't anything like, I'm not saying that you have to have surprises every week, but there was nothing really stellar about it. It was just kind of a show to get us to Extreme Rules.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing about it. I mean, there was something stellar about it. It took place right here in North Carolina.
And you didn't go. And you didn't
20 minutes
go.
From my
it's
house.
In your backyard.
Here's the honest to goodness truth, Brian. I mean, I could literally get to Greensboro Coliseum in 20 minutes. And I went there to see Garth Brooks. It's a fine – the ACC tournament is there more years than not. It's a fine Coliseum. It's kind of old now. A lot of purple. UNCG plays there. It's a fine Coliseum, okay? But I honestly did not even realize WWE was in town until Saturday night. My wife and I are driving back from Winston. You know, it's about 15 minutes the other direction. And she looks over and she says, "Look, it's Sheamus." And I look over and there's Sheamus's giant glowing red hair and his pale white face on the front of on the side of one of those giant WWE trucks. You know, Be a Star campaign. And I was like, oh, they must be doing a house show, because for the last 5 years, all WWE has done in this area has been house shows. We look it up, and yesterday found out that, yes, they were in fact doing Raw from Greensboro, but that's the first time they've done a televised show in this area in forever. So, although you know that TNA did their flagship pay-per-view here last year.
Charlotte. That is true. They did.
You know, it was for all that counts for. So I didn't even realize it, but at that point it was too far gone, but didn't really seem like I missed that much in the arena.
Well, I think the biggest thing that came away from the show was – And I don't know, I'm not trying to put it down or anything like that, because remember that, I mean, that show was going up against a big NBA playoff game. There was a hockey playoff game. Monday night's a tough night for TV regardless. But, you know, and I think WWE to some extent, you know, they've seen the ratings for the third hour of Raw and it's been tough for them. But, you know, still the final slot on that show is still the main event slot, you know. Say what you will about it, you know, in a 3-hour show. But I thought the most memorable thing or a key thing was that they gave that slot to the women. They gave it to Charlotte. They gave it to Natalya. They did an angle there leading up to their match coming up on Sunday on Extreme Rules. And like I said, I know that hour has been struggling when it comes to the ratings. So some of the other stuff was pushed ahead. You know, when you look at it symbolically, it's still important that they decided to put the women there.
It's interesting. Symbolic, I think, is a bit of an overstatement. I think it felt more like
we had this planned out for AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, and it doesn't go at the end of the show. So we put the women in there to make their match feel bigger than what it is. I don't think this women's match is built up to the level that it should be. Not at least the last time they had the women in this main event spot last year, which was, to me, felt like a bigger deal.
But I will say this. It's the second week in a row that they did not put Roman Reigns and AJ Styles, which is the feud for the world championship, in the third hour. So
right.
The last 2 weeks, they put it in the second hour. And when it comes to the buildup of the women's match, I think it is a little bit bigger just from the standpoint that they are really trying to get you to believe that Charlotte is in trouble and Natalya could win here. And Charlotte is, you know, head and shoulders supposed to be, you know, the top female in the company right now, the way that they positioned her. And they're making Natalya have to be a real threat. Now Flair can't be there at ringside and whatnot. So they're really trying to put a lot of juice behind that match.
I'm very curious what happened after WrestleMania for them to pivot away from kind of the feuds they had in place going into that show. Sasha Banks kind of being involved heavily, and to follow up with Natalya.
I have a theory about that.
Okay.
I think that they have said
they used Snoop Dogg and they were done. They were like, yep, we got Snoop Dogg. We're good. Okay, move on. We'll see you later.
I think the reason why Sasha Banks has been off television is because they want to do Sasha against Charlotte at SummerSlam. And they did not want to start that feud already. And they said, we can do a feud in the meantime between Charlotte and Natalya. We can get a couple of months outside of that. They weren't sure where to put Sasha and put her in a good position where she could continue to win. They just didn't have a spot right now when it comes to their line of thinking and keeping her very strong. So they said, you know what? We're just going to keep her in the background. And then after the Charlotte and Natalya feud ends, then I think we see Sasha come back and she goes right to the front of the line and going after Charlotte in that championship.
Okay, so let me ask you a question then, since we're kind of into this theory basis, whatever. Is there any merit to the rumors that Natalya could possibly be on the chopping board in the next round of cuts?
I don't think so. I mean, you never say never what the thinking is. I don't see why they would want to get rid of her, because I think she is extremely useful in a couple of ways, in that she could be... she's someone, when she's around, she can definitely give advice to the other women. I think she's very positive influence on all of them. Plus, you could put her in the position she's in now to challenge for the women's championship, or you could put her, you know, against other women. I mean, you could put her against any of the women, and I think she will fit in, you know. And it's not going to matter if she's, like, in the highest of the totem pole or a little bit lower down. She's going to help the division overall just by being there.
Yeah, and she's a veteran. We have a lot of younger women on the roster right now who are upcomers from NXT. Natalya's a veteran. I think she's got a lot to give still, and I would still love to see her have a nice little run with that title. I just think those rumors were very interesting, but you know, it does sound like I agree with you. I think she'll be around for a little while.
Yeah, and there was rumors too about, you know, Lillian Garcia's getting cut, which was not true. She was off TV because she had a sick relative.
Yeah, okay. Well, and it seemed like they were saying her contract was coming up at some point in the near future, and they might not renew it, so it's different slightly than getting cut. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I think everybody was jumping to conclusions because she wasn't on TV for a few weeks, and then prior to that, she had a couple instances. I think one during the European tour, and another one, God, what show was it at? It was a show that I was at that her and her floor producer were arguing about different things. Like, she would get into announcing a match or saying something, they're like, no, you're not supposed to say that. Or one time she got into the ring and she wasn't supposed to get into the ring, and so before she even said anything, they shoot her out. So there was definitely some miscommunication. It looked like there had been a couple instances of that going on, so I'm not exactly sure who's to blame in that, but Lillian's been very good at her job for a long time. I don't know why they would want to replace her.
Yeah, I don't either. And she's a very professional. She represents the brand well. She's got a great voice for singing on those shows when they need somebody to sing the national anthem. So interesting. But yeah, I agree with you. I like Natalya, and I hope she sticks around for a while. I do see why this feud is important to WWE. I hope Charlotte comes out of it looking strong. I like the stipulation on Sunday, getting rid of Ric Flair from ringside. I think it's going to make it a much more interesting match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've done a nice little, you know, they found a wrinkle for that match, and I think it's definitely added to it. Here's a couple other things to me that stood out, okay, when it comes to Raw. And I guess a little bit more on the negative side, because I've liked what they've done with Styles and Roman, but I don't like what they've done with Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. They just debuted like 5 weeks ago, and they've lost a bunch of matches now. I think I saw where somebody said they've had like 7 matches on TV, and they won their first 3, and they've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, that's problematic. And what it really points to is WWE's need to try to put them out there and get them over for a storyline rather than letting them get over on their own merits, right? They put them in as part of this AJ Styles-Roman Reigns feud. They said this is going to be the kind of thing that really sets up this to be a 3-on-3 feud. The problem is when you do that, once this feud ends, these guys have nothing. And that's my concern with this. You need to establish these guys as credible threats in the ring to make sure that once this storyline concludes, whether it's this Sunday or next month, they've got some place to go afterwards. It's not only contingent on storyline. Otherwise, a year from now, they'll be getting the pink slip.
Well, the weird thing was, you know, there was so much hype about them coming in. And we knew they were coming in. There was teases all over on when they were going to debut. And everybody thought they're going to come in, they're going to run roughshod for a while. And instead, they've really been marginalized. And I know the thinking is, well, somebody's got to lose in these matches. And I'm not saying that, excuse me, that the Usos should be losing left and right, because they shouldn't be. But maybe this is where you do need to use DQ finishes or find ways out of these matches if you're going to put them together to keep them strong, because they are the newcomers. They're supposed to be the bad guys on the block. And then if they go forward with what we believe is going to be another angle off of this with the Bauer Club or in somehow involving Finn Bauer, and we see where all this fits in, you've got to keep them strong for that. And I know there can be an argument too of, well, we put them with the Bauer Club, we put them with Finn, we you know, hit this angle that we can, you know, get the, you know, behind them again, and these guys can look really strong once they join up with another group or wherever this whole storyline goes. But you don't like to see that. You want to see a group stay strong, you know, and continue to get stronger rather than, okay, they're strong, then there's a dip. Oh, but now there's a twist to the storyline so we can, you know, fire them back up again.
Yeah, and then I think that's what needs to happen. I think, you know, there's a bigger problem here. That is, WWE has for years, and Chris Jericho has echoed this, said that wins and losses don't matter. And I think wins and losses do matter a whole lot. And I don't side with Ryback's argument that wins and losses are only there to serve this kind of dramatic purpose. But I think the more this is treated like a sport, the better off it is for everybody. And so I think that's a mindset WWE needs to recapture.
Oh, absolutely. I think the only other thing that really kind of stood out to me, and it was another negative, was, and this is something that's happened before, is these corny promos that WWE writes. I mean, they did that thing with the New Day, and that they were going into a cardboard box as a time machine.
You didn't like that? No,
that was horrible.
What? Horrible is an overstatement.
That one was really bad. The best part of it was when they were trying to go to the bygone era, and Kofi Kingston popped out and he acted like he was 2009 Kofi. Which,
you're making me crazy, man.
Yeah. And he said he goes, wait, 2009 was my best year. Now,
it's so true. Holy cow. He was my breakout star to come into 2010 and have a shot at winning the Rumble. I mean, you think about that feud he had with Randy Orton. Not all I remember is there was a NASCAR car at one point, but that really was his best year.
Oh, yeah, where he put the paint on the car.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, so Big Cass is out there having a cup promos right now because Enzo, his partner, is still sidelined, right? And Cass is fine on the mic. Enzo is spectacular. But then they have him do corny lines comparing the Dudley Boys to Urkel and the Flintstones. And I'm like, I don't even know if Enzo could have made that work, man.
Yep. It's again, symptomatic of them over scripting things. And it's not genuine to the wrestler. It's not genuine to what's happening on the show. It happens to Shane McMahon a lot, too. I don't know if you notice this. When Shane McMahon cuts promos, he's always very uncertain. And maybe not always, but a lot of times he comes across as very uncertain. He misses keywords and then he retracts and makes sure he says them again. And Shane's never had that problem in the past. And I think what you're running into is these guys are trying to hit spots on their lines rather than organically saying something. And I think that becomes problematic. And like you're saying, with Big Cass, that's a huge problem because he needs to come across as genuine or he's going to have the Roman Reigns issue all over again.
Yeah, it would Shane, you could tell that he's really having to think about what he's going to say.
Yeah.
And I think there's those pauses because he's trying to make sure that he hits those points, like you said. So that makes it really tough. You know, here's another one, too. So Dean Ambrose's fantastic personality is different than just about everybody else. Sometimes, especially lately, he sure stepped into that line of eccentric to corny, I think, or goofy. And it's just there's a line there. And it's just like, I like that he can be very weird and does things in his own manner. But there's also that, you know, you step over to this other goofy zone that it's like, yeah, I don't know if I see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. It can be too much.
Dean Ambrose to me is not a comedic figure.
He needs to be more serious and he needs to be unhinged. I think you can keep him being unhinged and that can come across as somewhat funny. But when you try to make it too funny, he seems less credible. He just doesn't seem like Dean Ambrose like we're used to. And I think it takes away some of his appeal to fans.
Well, how about too, like, and this isn't what he's doing. So he's explaining this asylum match, right?
Okay, go ahead, explain it. Go ahead.
It's a cage match of weapons. Okay.
Yeah. But okay. Ready to Rumble, right? 1999, right? David Arquette. They did a much better version of something like this whenever they had the cage on top of the cage on top of the cage. That's what this should be.
Well, that's a WCW match right there.
Yeah, what was that like? What was that called?
I'm going to have it here. Well, I guess just a triple cage match. I was thinking it was something else. But
Yeah. And then like TNA's version of it, it's like they have their own style.
Lethal Lockdown is what they have. But they have a top on it.
Right. It doesn't make – so are people allowed to escape once they get the weapons in this asylum match? What happens?
No, I mean they're trying to explain it. So it's not an escape match. I guess you have to either pin or submit the other person, but you can use the weapons. So there was a chair – There was bolt cutters or something. No, nunchucks were there. They had a straight jacket and a plant. So I guess it was Mitch, mm-hmm. you know, part two or something.
Mm-hmm. Mitch two.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
Mitch squared.
Mitch squared. Twice the plant fun.
Twice the plant fun. So, I don't know. I thought they could have done a better job kind of explaining that. But, I mean, it wasn't anything that, like, when it came to the end of the show, like, anything was so egregious, it was bad. I mean, it was just kind of a show. The thing that we've seen over the last couple of weeks were, I think, more good quality wrestling matches. We didn't get as much of that. There was a tag match at the beginning of the show, which was good. And then...
Kalisto
and Del Rio was good as well, but it's just them trading wins.
And so the thing about it for me is that as a fan, I don't like to see just these hodgepodge tag team matches thrown together all the time.
Yeah.
I like a good old-fashioned one-on-one match. I wanted to see a conclusion to that first match with Cesaro. You have this opportunity to really set the tone for the show, and then we're going to do a tag match here. And I did like the mix-up, having, you know, a good guy and a bad guy on each side. But again, you did the same thing for the ending of the show, too. So I don't know.
How did you like Kevin Owens when Shane McMahon came out and basically announced they're going to do a rematch from what they did on SmackDown? And they said, Kevin Owens, you're going to be paired with The Miz. And Owens' response was, he's the worst.
Yeah. Kevin Owens is money, baby. That guy can cut a promo on a tree stump. I mean, he can do it all. You know the most interesting thing I learned about Kevin Owens?
What's that?
Did you know that he learned English from watching Monday Night Raw?
Really?
With the captions on, yes. So he's, I don't know if I'm rooting for anybody, he's Canadian, right? He's from Canada where they have that stupid raptor as their mascot.
Wait a second, I thought you thought that thing was cool earlier. Now it's stupid?
Well, it just depends on what mood I'm in the given second, right? So now I'm hating on Canadians for some reason.
And dinosaurs.
Boo Canada, go USA, right? We're patriotic in this country. So he's from Canada, new French, comes to America and decides he wants to learn English. Obviously, you need that to succeed in a business like wrestling where you got to cut promos. And he watched Monday Night Raw to learn the language.
How nice.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. Wrestling. It's educational, right? You can, it's like one of those Saturday morning kid shows on NBC, right? Educational and informative and fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that we've gone off on that beat.
I just want to leave you hanging there.
Yeah, that was nice. You're a good partner, Brian.
That's what I tried to do. You want to give some predictions for Extreme Rules?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go through the matches.
Yeah, I'm going to give all the predictions. Okay.
So they've announced 7 matches, including a pre-show match. And that would be Dolph Ziggler versus... That's right. Baron Corbin again. This time, though, it's no disqualification.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dolph Ziggler.
I'm going to go Baron Corbin.
Okay.
Because I don't want to see them trade wins, and I'm hoping Baron gets a victory here somehow.
What happened? Okay, so between him and Apollo Crews, what's going on with these NXT call-ups?
Apollo Crews has disappeared. Other than they did a vignette for him on Raw, and then... Baron Corbin, we just haven't seen. But you know what? Here's what I'll say to that, though, okay? I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if they're not on Raw or SmackDown every week, because being on the main roster means they're going to get opportunities to work with different guys and more experienced guys. I mean, when they were with NXT, there's only so many guys that had a lot of experience that were there on the roster at the time. But on the main roster, there's going to be more opportunities to work with more guys that have that experience, and it's only going to help them.
I don't know. I think it's...
Because where you learn more, a lot of times when it comes to in-ring work, obviously, is on house shows, because you get more time. So these guys are on the loop for the house shows, you know, each and every week, and they're going to go out there and they're going to get, you know, 15, 20-minute matches.
I don't know. I guess my problem with it is it's kind of like the... It becomes very problematic when you have the Impact Wrestling syndrome, where people know you exist and they know you're around, but they can't find you, right? Like, yeah, Impact Wrestling's on TV. It's on, TV was US.
You mean Pop TV?
Pop TV. It's one of those networks that comes on that I may or may not get, right? Mm-hmm. People know it's around, but they don't know where to find you. And that's what's happening with Tyler Breeze, with Apollo Crews now. When they bring these guys up, and fans are like, yeah, I think they're on the main roster, but I haven't seen them in forever. As opposed to being in NXT and having a name, fans know where to find you. And I think that becomes dangerous to some of these stars' reputations. And I think it's going to be a problem unless they do something with Apollo Crews or Baron Corbin pretty soon.
You might be right. I mean, it might just be...
I'm always right.
Well,
this might be
a situation where, you know, come Monday, you know, the day after Extreme Rules, we see them both on Raw. I don't know. Hey, all I know is when I'm watching Raw... I've watched it the last 2 weeks, and I've seen Tyler Breeze get 2 victories, okay? Back-to-back weeks of Tyler Breeze wins.
Okay. So what you're saying is we're going to see them on Monday Night Raw. They're going to be a new tag team where they're both like island dudes from Hawaii, right? Mm. They're like the perfect pair or something like that, right?
Sure. So that's what were they? Called Breezango?
Breezango.
Right, okay. Because they're teamed with Fandango. Now, mind you, what was the obvious pairing name that they could have gone with? I don't know if they could have. Maybe they couldn't have done this for obvious reasons. But when you pair those two names together, what do you think the name should have been of that group?
I don't know. Preco? Epimu?
Fandango?
Oh.
Tyler Breeze?
Oh, Fandango. I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about
No. What should have been the name of that group? Instead of Breezango, the name should have been Fabreeze.
No, that's terrible.
That might be trademarked. It is a real product.
No.
Why not call him Fabreeze?
No, that's terrible. That's awful.
That's great.
I'm hanging on a microphone. It's done.
Come on, man.
Between the ropes is on the ropes. Well, that's our joke.
Stop it. Oh, wait.
I got a joke for you.
Before we continue with Extreme Rules, did you want to go back and talk about your boys from Puerto Rico?
So is that their gimmick? Their gimmick is that they're from Puerto Rico? That they're from the Caribbean? That they have flout? What is their gimmick here?
Their gimmick is that they want to be friendly to everybody, but they're going to beat them, and then they want to welcome you to Puerto Rico, I guess.
Is that a gimmick? Is that like... Yeah. So, and also, second question. Where does Epico get his steroids? Because homeboy has bulked up.
Dude. Whoa. Where the accusations are flying here, man.
We're journalists, man. We got to do it. We got to know the
truth. Well, you got to have some factoids before you start throwing out things there, Chief.
Okay, I got a couple of facts for you. Okay. Epico used to be relatively small. Now he's relatively big. And assumption being that if he worked out the same, he had to do drugs. So there you go. Proof. Proof is in the pudding.
We haven't seen him on TV in a while. Maybe he just hit the gym.
Maybe he did.
I'm just disappointed that the Shining Stars didn't come out playing Shining Star from Earth, Wind, and Fire, okay?
I think a better – well, okay. I'll give you that one, but I think a better song solution would have been One Shining Moment if they could have come out to
one
the NCAA
shining
theme.
Moment. Like the original one? What is it? Who's the dude that sings that?
Yes.
Who's the guy that sings it? What's the famous person that sung that?
Luther Vandross.
Thank you. Luther. Maybe they could play that at the end of each episode of Raw. They could just put like the highlights to it, like they did at the end of the NCAA tournament.
Problem is, I don't think they'd have enough content to fill up that show at the end of every episode.
Oh, well, every week they put out on their YouTube channel, they put out the 10 best moments from Raw.
Yeah.
Whether you want to agree that there are 10 great moments or
not. I feel really bad for the intern that has put that together every week, too. So.
The intern.
Yep.
Okay, Extreme Rules. Let's see.
Extreme Rules, okay.
Here we go. We've got the United States Championship between Kalisto and Rusev. By the way, if you just ask people, do you really think that people would know that Kalisto is still the United States Champion, considering how he's been booked since he won that title?
No. Let me ask you this. Has the United States Championship ever meant less than it does right now?
No. And that's saying something, considering that they spent all of last year, or the bulk of it, with John Cena being the United States Champion. And the sole purpose of that was to build that title back up, which he did, considering the numerous outstanding matches he had every week on the John Cena United States Open Challenge. Mm-hmm. And ever since this year's WrestleMania, they have just killed that title.
Mm-hmm. Literally. It's been terrible. I mean, even the IC title has taken a hit, but the caliber of the talent has helped elevate that title a little bit. But yeah, this...
I want Rusev to win the title. And I like Kalisto as a performer, but I want Rusev to win this and get a push again.
Doesn't it just seem weird that they put it on Kalisto in the first place? Like, it made sense with Alberto Del Rio, and then he loses it and he wins it back, right? I get that storyline. But it's just been weird for them to put it on Kalisto and give them a run. I think they were trying to make him Rey Mysterio too, and I don't think it's happened.
No, I think what happened that hurt him was, I think that he's very talented in the ring. Obviously, he can speak two languages. I think one of the things that hurt him is when, believe it or not, you remember when they put him out there at the commentary table to broadcast one of the matches?
Oh, yeah.
He was beyond dry and didn't know what to say. I mean, that's a tough position for those guys because they're not sure, like, what should I say and how much should I jump in and everything. So it's a tough position, and he was not good in that. And, I mean, things weren't exactly great for him at that point, but I feel like they've really taken another step backwards since then.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not... Again, it's hurting the titles, which is hurting anything, but...
Yeah. Well, at least they've rebooted Rusev with Lana. I mean, remember they had this whole project, too, where Lana was going to become a wrestler, and I think she was at the Royal Rumble, and they go, you know what? Maybe this isn't a good idea after all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I want to see Rusev win that match, and I think he's going to, and I think he's going to be the U.S. champion again.
Okay. I think so, too. I agree with you.
Tag team...
We're on the same page for the first time ever.
There we go. Tag team match... We've got the New Day against the Vaude Villains.
New Day.
Yeah, I'm going to say New Day. I think the Vaude Villains were going to win it before, but I think it's going to be stalled out a little bit longer. I'm going to go with New Day. Man, Vaude Villains do not get much of a reaction at all.
No, that's the thing about it. They're not going to put the titles on these guys because these guys are just not over with the audience. They're in a holding position. You know, have we heard how long Enzo's going to be out?
I have heard nothing about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you kind of are in a holding position because it seemed like that was where they were going with this whole thing was Enzo and Big Cass versus New Day. In the interim, yeah, these Vaude Villains are filling the role, but there's just no way they'll put the titles on these guys. New Day is still too hot, you know?
So we've got the Asylum match between Jericho and Ambrose. Ambrose won last month, so maybe it's time for Jericho to get the win here and then they bring it back another month?
Jericho got the win at
Payback. Ambrose got, well, that's true. Jericho got the win. Well, WrestleMania was Ambrose against
Yeah. You're right. Ambrose lost there. Ambrose won last month.
Yeah, against Jericho, and now they're doing it against Extreme Rules. So maybe Jericho gets the win here. I have the sneaky suspicion that somehow Jericho gets Ambrose in the straitjacket.
Uh huh. I did too. They did kind of sell that on Monday night.
Right.
Or also,
they did last week on SmackDown.
If you're Jericho, if you are Chris Jericho, and your opponent brings down this goofy-looking steel structure, and he claims it's rusty, and it's not, I'm sorry.
Could they hear the music in the building, like the creepy music that they had?
That was the best part. I'm sure they could. But if you're Jericho, dude, you gotta have a better poker face than that. Don't be all, like, looking petrified because somebody brought down a steel cage. That makes you look weak as hell, dog.
He's a heel. He's supposed to be a chicken heel.
Well, he's a, chicken.
Mm-hmm. Chicken beep peel.
Chicken beep peel.
Who's going to win?
We should rename the podcast Chicken Beep Peel.
Who do you think's winning?
I don't know.
Do we got to pick somebody? I pick Jericho.
Okay, Jericho it is.
Okay.
Jericho, all right.
God. Fatal 4-Way, your boy The Miz against Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn for the IC title.
The Miz.
You're going with The Miz. I'm going to go with...
Zack Ryder's coming back running, and he reclaims his title that he never got a good rematch
for. He's not included in the match.
He had his WrestleMania moment. He's the number one contender.
I'm going to go with... let's see. I'll say Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Because then I think you reboot the Owens-Zane again.
Yeah, it seems a little bit... I guess you reboot it with the title on the line. Zayn's got to win, doesn't he?
I don't want Zayn to win the title in this fashion. I'd want him to beat Kevin Owens one-on-one to be more meaningful than getting a win here.
Yeah.
But that might be, maybe they do that. Maybe they go with Zayn and Owens goes, wait a second, I beat this guy and he's a champion? This is crap. I didn't even get pinned when I lost my title of WrestleMania in this 7-person ladder match. And this guy has lost that match and I beat him the next month. And now he's the champion. Yeah, it makes sense. I'm going Sami Zayn. I changed my mind.
Okay. Well, fine. I'm going with Kevin Owens then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Submission match.
Are we getting points for this?
Yes. We're paying $1 per match. Submission match for the women's championship. Ric Flair banned from ringside. If he shows up, Charlotte will be stripped of the championship. Charlotte against Natalya. Charlotte's going to win.
Okay, I'm going to go with Charlotte, but I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Wouldn't it be interesting if Ric Flair came out and cost her the match and caused a split between Charlotte and Flair?
Well, if you follow what's been going on lately, Charlotte has been putting pops in his place a little bit more often.
Right.
Even this past week, he wanted to woo and she would not let him.
Right.
So
right.
Something could be going on
there. A split?
Yeah, it could be a split. I don't know if it would be just a way to write Rick off TV or would it be like Rick would help somebody else, because his daughter is getting too big for her own britches. They could go there.
Okay, fine. I'm going with Natty. Going with Natty. Because of Flair's interference.
I'm going to go with Charlotte, but not saying somebody won't interfere. I'm just not sure who. Yeah, I don't know who, but I think Charlotte's going to win.
Okay.
I'll go with Charlotte. And then we get Roman Reigns against AJ Styles. For the World Heavyweight Championship Extreme Rules match, so anything goes. No DQ. The Usos will be in Reigns' corner, while Gallows and Anderson will be in Styles' corner. I expect weapons. I expect a lot of run-ins. I expect maybe even a surprise. When it's all said and done, though, I do expect Reigns to still be your WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I agree. Do you think anything funky is going to happen?
I think what could happen here is that Gallows and Anderson are so hell-bent on interfering and getting involved and using weapons and whatnot, that it backfires and Styles gets all pissed at them. And I don't know if it would be on Raw or if it would, I think it would make more sense to wait like another month, but there's going to be dissension in the ranks there, and it's going to lead eventually to Finn Balor coming up and Gallows and Anderson going with them.
Okay. I just didn't know if you thought Balor might debut.
He could. I wouldn't be surprised by it, I guess, but I don't think so. I'm wondering, and I know that they've done this before where they brought guys up and then still had them in NXT, but remember, Balor's going to be in the NXT Championship match on June 8th.
Okay.
And while, like I said, you know, they could do him in both places, I think they want to wait until his NXT run is over. I think he loses that match, and then he comes up to the main roster. Because remember how this whole feud, remember the early stages of it was, you know, Gallows and Anderson were interfering, and either they use a chair and Styles say, no, 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 don't do that, or they would do it behind his back, yeah, and he wouldn't see it, or they would attack Reigns behind their back. So I think they're going to go back to something like that. We're going to see over the next, you know, 2-4 weeks, dissension between the group, and it's eventually going to lead to Balor coming.
Okay. So my follow-up question then is, are we going to get an AJ Styles-Finn Balor rivalry?
Yes.
Into the summer. Okay.
I think so.
Okay. I like it. I can dig that. I like where you're going. They should pay you to book WWE. I'd be a lot happier.
Can you dig that, sucker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like the culturally dated reference, but yes, I can dig it.
Hey, man, it's right up there with Urkel. So who do you think is winning?
I agree with you. I think Roman Reigns reigns supreme. See what I did there?
It's the, yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Right. I thought you were going to throw in Roman Empire on that, too.
That's okay. We're good. Okay. I'm done talking about Roman Reigns. He's done. Okay. He's dead to me. Okay,
let's talk about a couple other things. So, like I mentioned, June 8th is the next NXT TakeOver from Full Sail, Winter Park, Florida. My backyard. I will be there. And they announced today, they did an angle on Facebook Live with William Regal announcing that Samoa Joe will be taking on Finn Balor for the championship inside the confines of a steel cage. First steel cage match in NXT history. So they actually ran an angle on Facebook Live. They did this 2-minute video where they actually showed the two of them getting into it during a house show last week in Portland. And then they announced the cage match here. So I think Joe's going to win it, but that's a fantastic match.
Yep. I think Joe is going to win it, but I would not expect Joe to have a lengthy title run because I am fairly convinced he will be up on the main roster by year's end.
Well, who do you think they put Joe with next? Let's just say that he wins that match, okay? Does Joe then next go against? They already beat Eric Young, but do they do something there? Could they do Bobby Roode if and when he's officially signed, which I think he's officially signed now. They were very close before. And it looks like he's going to be on their upcoming tour in the UK. Do they do something with him in Nakamura? Do they do something with him in Austin Aries? What do you think is next for Joe?
I think Nakamura could be. I think Nakamura and Aries are your two best options. I think it'd be interesting if they put Rude in that position because normally, and you see this with Eric Young, when they debut these guys, they don't have a lengthy feud for the title. They did it with Joe, but it took a while for them to get there. So, I don't know. And I think that Nakamura could be a good contender for that. I would love to see a Rude Joe feud happen in NXT. It would excite me more than nothing else.
Well, it'd be pretty interesting if, whether it was, say, at the end of the cage match or the following week on TV, when say Joe just wins that match.
Yeah.
And then Nakamura comes out and just kind of stares at him. Or they could do the same thing, you know, like I said, for the next week on TV, where Joe's like, you know what? There's no one here that can really challenge me. And then Nakamura's music hits, you know, they kind of play that up. So Nakamura makes a lot of sense because I still think no matter what, he's going to be there for at least a few more months. I don't know what the game plan is for him right now, but obviously he's ready to go at any time. But
it just seems like he needs something you need something high profile for Nakamura next. I think,
yeah, go ahead. Oh, I'm starting to feel the same about a couple other people there too, like American Alpha. It's like, what's next for him there?
Yep. NXT's getting crowded. I mean, NXT's turned into this hotbed of really good talent, and I've been saying this for forever. It's not developmental anymore. You can't call what they're doing down there developmental. It is its own thing. It's its own brand. And I think you've got to branch off and have NXT Superior and NXT Light. You know, that's where you're going with this.
Best wishes to Emma, who's going to be sidelined for several months. She's having surgery, I believe, on Wednesday. Herniated disc in her back.
That's nothing.
When she was starting to get a push and Dana Brooke came up to be her sidekick again. And then, unfortunately, she suffered a back injury, so she will be out. So hopefully,
how long?
I don't know. 3, 4, 5 months.
Well, if she's anything like John Cena, she'll put that time in half. Okay, so I expect to see you back in 2 months, Emma. Make it happen.
Are we still going to get the taste of Tennille cooking videos from her on YouTube?
I hope so. Those are you know,
who doesn't like that?
Those are perfect.
So we did not talk about this last week, but. What did you think of Adam Cole and also Adam Page joining the Bullet Club?
I think it's cool. I think it makes a lot of sense. I they're doing good things. Here's what the Bullet Club is doing well, and here's what they get over there. That is building up a faction and letting it have legs beyond just a couple of guys. The Bullet Club means something because it had great stars and it has great stars. So I think that that's a great fit all the way around.
I think it's been pretty amazing, the many lives of the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Because just when you think that, like, that could be it, they hang around. They find ways to continue. I mean, obviously, Young Bucks are in it. And, we see so many different guys that get involved in that club. And now here we go with, especially with Adam Cole being involved. I mean, that's the really big part of this, mm-hmm. So, I'm glad that Adam's getting that opportunity. I mean, obviously he's a great talent and, Ring of Honor have been planning this and New Japan have been planning this for a while. So it should be great.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Better faction, Bullet Club, Nexus.
Oh, Bullet Club.
Okay. Better faction, Bullet Club, NWO.
Well, that's where it can get really interesting. I would say it's hard to judge because one of them was 20 years ago. When it comes to overall popularity, it'd be the NWO.
NWO, obviously.
But the problem with the NWO is we also know how it was mishandled and overused and overbooked and how it became tiresome and flamed out. With the Bullet Club, we haven't seen that yet. Now, mind you, they haven't been around for anywhere near as long.
But let's be honest here. End of year, I mean, Bullet Club's been around since, 2013? I know there was
Bullet Club started in 2013 and originally with Prince Devitt. AKA Finn Balor.
And they cycled through a lot of talent, but the Bullet Club still feels very important in the scope of, in the whole professional wrestling landscape, the Bullet Club is still a thing that stands up. The NWO by year three was starting to get a little bit long in the tooth, right?
Yes.
When did the NWO debut?
That's what I'm looking for. When did it? Was it 97?
96? I think it was 96. Yeah, it was 96. And those founding three members were hella important. But by the time you got to 99, the NWO was starting to feel a little bit overdone.
Right. They went from 96 to 2000. And they were cool for the first year and a half, 2 years maybe. Mm-hmm. But even then it was already maybe it had already gone too long. And then you had, these offshoots, you did Wolfpack and, every week it was somebody was jumping, and it became such a huge group. It was ridiculous, all the different people that were involved. When Virgil was in it, come on.
I think NWO obviously set the landscape for one of the biggest turns, if not the biggest turns of all time in wrestling. One of the hottest factions and one of the hottest promotional periods of wrestling. But I think the Bullet Club has managed to do something that's kind of hard to do, and that is reinvent itself and stay relevant over the long term. And kudos to New Japan, to Ring of Honor. I love it.
Well, I think The thing about it, though, too, is remember WCW was on a much bigger stage because of where WCW was and at that time where wrestling was at.
Right.
So when you look at the overall big picture of it, you know, it'll still be NWO, but yeah, I mean, you talk about the cool factor and still hanging around. I mean, if you look at Bullet Club right now, and I think that's going to be one of the interesting things in all of this is how relevant do they stay now, you know, under this latest, you know, grouping? Because it's not the same guys that we had before. It's much different. Right. You got Kenny Omega now, and you got Adam Cole, and you got the Gorillas of Destiny and the Young Bucks. So let's, you know, can they stay this popular, you know, especially in Japan? That's going to be their bread and butter. We can say what we want about them in the Ring of Honor, but it, you know, it all depends about what they do in New Japan.
Right. Yeah. It'll be interesting. But again, I just want to give them props and kudos. And yep. I think it's again, fun. This is a good way to make wrestling so much fun. Wait, you know, something else we didn't talk about last week, talking about New Japan and Ring of Honor kind of working together, that crazy scenario where Drew McIntyre, Galloway, whatever you want to call him, cut a promo.
I call him Galloway.
But he was in McIntyre mode when he cut a promo on WWE last week.
Yeah, so the deal was he was at an Evolve show, and so EC3 came out, and the two
Ring of EC3, right?
Right, so EC3 TNA. Of TNA, and Drew Galloway, the current TNA World Heavyweight Champion, were both out there and in an Evolve show, and they were beating up everybody, and they were cutting promos, and it wasn't that, hey, these are TNA guys taking over the world. There was no mention of TNA. The whole angle was supposed to be disgruntled former WWE talent because they cut a promo about WWE. They cut a promo without saying Bill DeMott, but they talked about Bill. So basically they were cutting a promo on their former employers, especially now that Evolve is working with WWE. And you can't tell me that WWE did not know that this was coming, because obviously Gabe Sapolsky and the people at Evolve would have told them beforehand. But it is an interesting angle considering the background of this and where they currently work now, even though that place was not referenced at all.
Mm-hmm. And especially because, you know, this weird partnership Triple H and WWE and NXT especially has with Evolve. It's fascinating. Wrestling in 2016, the year of our Lord and Savior, is one of the most fascinating things to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Speaking of TNA, so I got to make this mention, okay? Well, two things. Yeah. Number one, so TNA has been on Pop TV for a while. They had their replay, which was on immediately after their show on Tuesday nights, moved to Saturday mornings. It was only there for about 4 weeks, and it's already been axed. So they do not have a replay now on Pop.
Okay, that's weird.
So okay. All they have is the one showing, and it's on, you know, for both coasts. So, I mean, when it's on the West Coast,
okay,
it's on, you know, a lot earlier. So,
well, you're getting cut from Pop TV. It's not looking too good for you.
Yeah. I mean, well, they got the replay cut, and I'm starting to wonder, like, is this, we've seen this happen before with them. Okay. Uh-huh. Whether it was with Spike or Destination America, is this a preamble for Pop TV, despite saying we're behind you 100% and everything's going to be great. We're going to get those ratings back up to, cause we're in almost as many homes as Spike to now. The ratings are still very low, and Pop might be going, maybe we shouldn't do this. No matter what the deal is, I don't know how much it costs for either side. I'm assuming TNA's not paying. I know they're not, but I don't know how much money they're making off of this. But, you know, I really wonder, you know, what's happening here with TNA, because, hey, we all know that they're trying to find investment partners. And if you don't have that TV deal, and I don't care if you're trying to sell the whole company, which they don't want to do, or if you are trying to find an investor, if you don't have that TV deal, you got nothing. And I mean nothing.
So, you know, it's again, we're going to talk about TNA, and it's just, it's sad, the state of how the mighty have fallen, we can say. But, you know, I bet their offices down there in Nashville were just a beehive of activity last week then, huh?
Well, TNA has moved offices. I will say that. So,
like that, I tossed you a softball. That's what we call a segue here in the ring.
I was in Nashville last week, and I did go by Cumming Station where they were based at. And it's funny because I know some people had said, "Oh, well, you know, TNA they were still in Cumming Stations, you know, before they moved out. They just had to change offices, and they were in the basement." Okay, there is no basement in Cumming Station. Okay, so there are four floors to this building, but when you come in off the street, you are in the second level. Like, you go up like just a small flight of stairs and you go in the building.
Okay.
You're on the second floor. Which, so TNA moved to the first floor. And when you go to the first floor, that's not a basement. There's tons of other businesses that are there. It's a big building. And there's other businesses that are on the first floor. And the first floor looks exactly like the second floor and the third floor and the fourth floor. So it's not like, you know, oh, when you're on the first floor, it's grungy and dirty and nobody's there or anything. And you feel like you're in a dungeon. It's nothing like that. It's still very nice. It's just, obviously, you're not going to get as much foot traffic when it comes to business coming in off the street. But guess what? They weren't doing that. That's not how their business was predicated. They weren't looking for, hey, we got to have people come into our office. I mean, they're not that kind of a business. I mean, there's a gym there on the second floor. There's restaurants. There's other businesses. Eventbrite is there.
Really?
Well. Yes.
Interesting.
So all these other businesses are there. I saw there was a, I can't remember the name of it. There was a, like a, some kind of like a fantasy website is based out of there or had a big office there. So they're not in the basement. They moved down to the first floor and now they're outside of the building and they're moving to a different facility.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, let me tell you this little coincidence thing. Okay.
Okay.
So, as you know, I love me some TV shows.
Of course.
So a show that I got hooked on before a little while back was a show called Bosch, which is on Amazon. So it's another one of these cop shows or whatever. It's got Titus Welliver, who was in Lost, and he's been in a couple other things as well.
Uh-huh.
So he plays like the lead cop in the show. Very good. So they did this first season on Amazon. I think it was like 8 episodes. Earlier this year, though, they had the second season come out. I hadn't watched it.
Yeah. I know that guy. That guy from, he's on everything. He's on Agents of, he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. He's on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Really good actor. Yeah. So I hadn't got an opportunity to watch the second season. So recently I did. Over the past week I did.
Don't spoil it because that's on my shows to watch. Okay.
But I found it funny when one of the big stories, especially in the early part of this, was they were talking about a person that was murdered. That's who they were going to investigate, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy.
It's good to know that you find funny murder. So
No. No, here's the funny part. Okay. So this guy, and they're looking like what he did for work. So he owned a porn company. Like he was a producer or had a production company for porn. And the name of the company? TNA Entertainment. TNA Entertainment. I was like, of course that's the name of it. That's the first thing we think of with the wrestling company. Yeah. And at one point they even said, like, that TNA guy. I was like, unbelievable.
That's so true. I mean, wasn't that the whole point of Impact Wrestling? Impact Wrestling was supposed to replace TNA, but they could never get their branding just right. So they kept TNA and called Impact the TV show, and they kind of called it both things for a while. Ugh.
Yeah, you know, I mean, well, I mean, obviously the real reason why they called it TNA in the beginning was because of everybody was going to be thinking about that. And remember, they were on pay-per-view and they're going to be dirty and they did a little bit of that. But that they should have never been called that. That's why so many people have even been said, you know, especially if they find a new investor or they sell the company, they've got to rebrand the company.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but...
Which at that point, why not just start your own wrestling company?
Yes, exactly. So it was going to be a tough haul, but yeah, I found that rather amusing that that some people that they use that name in that manner. Yeah. And you know what? I don't even know if TNA the wrestling company even knows about it. I don't know if they could do anything about it. I would assume no, but. Yeah, I mean, when you think about TNA wrestling, that's especially for people that don't watch it. It's like the first thing that comes to your mind is something like that is porn. And then what happens here on a TV show? TNA Entertainment, and it's about porn.
Yep, there you go. You know what TNA could do to save itself? They need to re-implement the 10-minute match time limits they used to have when they were on Fox Sports and bring back their partnership with the NWA. That'd solve all their problems.
Right.
Done. Pay me money. I did it.
I'm glad you got it all solved.
I got it. I fixed it. It's me.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. But I'm glad to have you back
Wait. We got to talk about CM Punk and how the news broke this week. I think it was from the Wrestling Observer and not from WrestleNews.News. That CM Punk is not progressing very well in his MMA training. Did you hear this? I'm not making this up, right?
I did hear this.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
It's not surprising if it's true.
Okay.
I think you will have a fight there, but I've always thought it was going to be extremely difficult for him considering the damage he's done to his body already and for how late he was getting into the game. It'd be one thing if he hadn't taken all those wrestling bumps and he got into it, but right. to go through all that bumps and then he's since had a surgery on his back and whatnot, extremely tough.
I mean, he's already been technically quote unquote signed to a fight. He's supposed to fight Mickey Gall, correct?
Correct. Just not sure when exactly that is going
and,
to happen.
And what I read said that if he were to fight upstart fighter Mickey Gall is a younger guy. He's an upstart, right? That Mickey Gall would run through him.
Right. And that's the thing is that he's a very not amateur, but he's still in the early stage of his career. So
yeah.
He's a low-level fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And the belief is that he would wallop Punk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll see if the fight happens. I mean, it's still very questionable about whether or not it's going to happen from a standpoint. If that fight doesn't happen, then Punk's not fighting at all.
Yeah.
So I think it's still very much up in the air. But and you know what? Whether you like him or not, I mean, there definitely are some people that do not like CM Punk, and they want to see him fight, and they want to see him get his ass handed to him.
Yep. We'll see. See what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying I wanted that to happen to him. I don't want him to get his ass handed to him. I think it's great to have these guys come in, do UFC and be successful at it. But I want to know what happens to CM Punk afterwards. He said some very detrimental things to WWE and about professional wrestling. Does he come back into the fold at some point? Who knows?
Well, that's the thing that I think a lot of people would think, like, you know, with his... You know, fighting doesn't work out whether he had a fight or not, especially if he didn't. You know, if he was looking for income, looking to do something, would he want to go back to wrestling? But I know everybody says, you know, people go back to wrestling and there's nothing that can't be undone and whatnot when it comes to relationships, because the bottom line is, you know, business can conquer all. This one would be extremely hard to put in the past.
Yeah.
For both sides. And remember, there is still a lawsuit going out there. That's still standing between CM Punk and Dr. Chris Amann.
Anyway, I guess the conversation goes, okay, Punk, will you drop the lawsuit? Can we get you in for a few matches? If so, here's your deals.
And then he says, well, I got a main event WrestleMania. And they're like, no way.
Oh, man, he is one tough nugget to crack, huh?
He is. You know, but I mean, he stands by what he believes. I'll give him credit for that. Because he's not backing down, and he has not changed. I mean, I'm not going to blame him if he wanted to go back into wrestling. At the same time, he saved his money. I don't think he needs wrestling. Yeah. I don't think he wants to go back to wrestling. Or if he really wanted to do wrestling again, I don't know if it would be in WWE. Maybe he would do some limited stuff with Ring of Honor. If that day ever came, they said, okay, I want to do it again. But he's made it sound like he just doesn't even like wrestling anymore.
Which is crazy. That was his dream. That was his whole life dream.
You know how it is. Sometimes when you pull back the curtain, it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Just like here between the ropes. And yes. On that note.
But I'm glad that you're back for two weeks in a row. We might try to make it a record 3 weeks in a row next week.
We'll see what the fan response is. And by the way, again, thank you all for your nice tweets. I really do appreciate it. Those of you who said, get lost, Wiseman. Well, I got a few choice words from you. I'll send you in a censored message afterwards. But If you have a hard time hearing me, I'm having a few connection issues. I cut my promo on Time Warner Cable. I'm going to try to get those worked out over the next week. Don't hold it against me. Don't hold it against Brian. He's a pretty nice guy, too. But I am happy to have done this podcast with you. And, you know, it's kind of nice being behind the microphone again, I got to say.
There you go, man. It's kind of fun having you back, too.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
So, everybody, thanks again for listening. Don't forget, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. Rate and review the podcast. You can also find it on SoundCloud, or you can go to BetweenTheRopes.com. Find Mikey on Twitter. It's at TheRealWiseman. You can find me. It's at Brian Fritz. And I'll have another podcast coming out here pretty shortly with Natalya talking about Extreme Rules and her match against Charlotte. And also Adam Cole, the newest member of the Bullet Club, will be joining me on the podcast as well. So a couple of interviews coming up on another podcast. So thanks again for everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.